And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Now I'm delighted to join the students and teacher, Alison Leach, from St. Joseph's School, live into the studio. I'll talk to Alison first, but the students who join me today are Matthew, Keane, Sean, Joe, Joshua and Lee. And I know Joshua and Lee are going to be speaking, the other students are going to be listening inside. They're going to be talking about a book that they wrote, but first of all we're going to talk to Alison. Good morning to you, Alison.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
Nervous.
No need to be nervous. Anyway, tell us how it all got here today with this book. I know you're big involved with mental health for young people. So how did it come to doing the book? How did you just get here today?
Well, to be honest, at the beginning of the year, we decided that a project we'd work on would be based on mental health. So our school is an all-boys school. We wanted to kind of promote the idea that it's okay not to feel okay. It's absolutely okay to ask for help. And based on that, then we got involved with Cycle Against Suicide. So Cycle Against Suicide is an organisation that works with young people and for young people to promote positive mental health and basically to promote help-seeking behaviour, so that if there is something wrong, that people are encouraged to ask for help and to know where to ask for help. So based on that, we've gone through different processes this year to become an ambassador school for Cycle Against Suicide. So we held different events. One of them was the making of this book, which the boys will talk to you about in a minute. We did a fundraiser spin-a-thon in school as well. So the boys cycled 247 kilometres because they have to look after their mental health 24/7, and thankfully Westwood and Clontarf sponsored those bikes for us, so for that we're very, very thankful. Other than that as well, they were going to be involved in Darkness Into Light this year, involved with Pieta House in Phoenix Park. So all of these events are going to promote the positive mental health around our school, around our area, to spread the message that it's absolutely okay to ask for help, and we're here to tell them what supports are actually there for them and how they can get in contact with these people.
And it's great to see, Alison, that the young people are coming out and talking about their mental health.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I always say, like, as years and years go by, we cover a lot here on mental health here on Lifeline for all age groups, but it's great to see young people being able to talk about it and to get involved in something as big as this. Did you find it hard to get kind of the ball rolling when you started doing this? Did you get a lot of help? Were people willing to give you help?
Yes. To be honest, nowadays mental health is something that people talk about more and more because it's getting more familiar with people like Brezzy, people like Jim Breen that set up Cycle Against Suicide. All of these people are working to kind of change the stereotype and get rid of that stigma. So everyone is doing their best to make sure that everyone talks about their feelings. At first it is hard to kind of get everybody willing to talk about their feelings because it is something that's difficult to do, but I think that myself and the boys have learned that once someone has, let's say, talked to someone and said, look, I'm struggling, from there on everything improves. At that stage, once you've said, you know what, I need help, there are so many people there that are going to help you. So within our school we have counsellors, we have guidance counsellors. Every teacher in our school is willing to listen to anybody that is struggling with anything, and we know then where to refer them on to or how to give them advice and support. And then with through the use of this book, which has the supports in it, we're hoping to kind of get the message out further than Dublin City and let people know what help is there for them and that their mental health is just as important, if not more important, than their physical health. And it needs to be looked after just as much as you looked after your physical health.
So true. And it's taken that first step.
Yes, you know, and once that step is taken, everything improves from there. Your future becomes so much brighter. You have the help, you have the support, and that's all you need to succeed.
And so we're going to talk to Lee and Joshua about the book that they have written. So thank you, Alison, and good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Now, Lee and Joshua, left and right, I'm looking here. Why did you choose to make a book about mental health?
We chose to make a book on mental health because we've seen on, like, online on stats and all that, like, 25% of young people aged like 16 to 25 have suffered with mental health issues, like, in the past, or are still struggling with them now.
And that's why.
Yeah, so I just chose to make the book.
And what type of stuff is in the book?
There's a lot of interviews, food tips, and there's just like interviews with like local celebrities like Maria Coughlan, Dublin Rosa Tralee.
All right. And it's great to see, as your teacher Alison mentioned, that Brezzy and these kind of, I suppose, celebrities are coming out and talking about their own mental health, because it makes, I think, maybe especially young people feel that they can kind of talk. I mean, it is just like having a physical, you know, ailment. You talk about when you're not feeling well, if you have pain somewhere. So you should be able to talk about, you know, how you're feeling mentally. And did you feel when you were writing this, Lee, that it was difficult, or did you feel uncomfortable talking about it or writing about it, or did you feel that it was okay? You know, you felt okay talking to your, I suppose, just your friends in school about it.
Yeah, it kind of like made things easier to talk about. Like, if you had a problem, it would kind of like, at the start, it was kind of like awkward, like, to start with. But then over time, it's kind of just got easier to talk about stuff.
I just had a quick look through the book, and it looks really, really interesting. There's plenty of information in there for everybody. That's what we were saying earlier on, it should be in every school, and hopefully when it's launched, it will be. Joshua, good morning. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved and about the award that you won recently.
The award we won was for the Student Enterprise Award for the senior category. We competed with schools from all over County Dublin, and it was only a few weeks ago.
Right. So, and is it going to go, has it been awarded for something else? Is it going on to the final of something? That's in May. Yeah.
We're also representing Dublin All-Ireland Enterprise in May.
Oh, great. Great. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in the book, and what has been involved in making the book? I mean, there's a lot of information out there, so it must have taken you a good while to do this.
We got a lot of thanks for our sponsors who originally helped us make the book sponsoring us in the first place. Mm-hmm. And again, the fundraiser that was mentioned earlier, the 24/7 kilometer spent on, and the dodgeball tournaments we also held for younger students in our own school.
And did the whole school take part in this, or was it just transition year?
It was transition years, 4 years, and even 6 years helped in.
So it's the whole school. So it's the whole, everyone was involved. And Lee, from your own point of view, did you put a lot of effort into the book yourself, or was it like a group effort?
I think it was kind of like a group effort. Like, everyone helped to put like information in, and everyone was kind of willing to help make the book.
And seen by local, as you said, Westwood, and local businesses kind of gave you a handout as well, and sponsored you. So I suppose there's a lot of information and a lot of helplines as well, because on the back of it, like, mind matters. It's okay not to feel okay, and it's absolutely okay to ask for help, which is very true. But you have all the useful contacts like the Samaritans, Childline, Pieta House, Aware, Grow, and the LGBT helpline. And it's just, there's a, you know, for every, I think every secondary school should really have one of these, and to have, I suppose, teachers like yourself, Alison, as well, that they can talk to, because sometimes it is hard at that age to kind of come out and say that I'm not feeling great. So do you feel now, if the students in the school who are suffering a little bit with their mental health will be more, I suppose, willing to come out and talk about it?
Yeah, I'd say, like, if they've had a look at the book, I'd say it would, like, help them come out and talk to even like one of their friends or one of the counsellors or any of the teachers in the school.
Yeah,
I'd say it'd be like easier for them, because in the book it's like there's tips on like how to like help you, and there's like a lot of things that can like help you, and you can talk to teachers as well.
Yeah, and there's everything, and there's really this food, what you should avoid, eating too much junk and skipping meals, and what food helps your mental health, like oily fish and spinach and bananas that we all should be eating, really, and also as well to exercise, because we all know that gets your endorphins going as well. So, you know, it is very, it's very important to keep healthy as well. Yeah. So, do you kind of promote more, I suppose, a healthy lunch in the schools now, and healthy eating and sports?
Yeah, we're starting to open up a breakfast club in the school before school. Like, it starts like an hour before school, so like students can come in and then they get a nice breakfast in before school.
So that gets them started for the
day.
Yeah, because it is very healthy. It's very important to keep, you know, I suppose, your body healthy, then your mind is, you know, healthy. So I'm just looking through the book here as we go along. I know I've done a lot of interviews with Jigsaw, and it's a great organisation, and that's specifically for young people, isn't it, in mind? And I presume like they do help young people, but there's Suicide Just a Five. There's loads of different organisations that help everyone who's suffering through some type of mental health. So what's going to happen now after this? You're going to, this book is going to be going on sale nationwide, is it? Or
just around Dublin to start off with.
To start off with and see how it goes. And have you got anything else in the pipeline after this? Is there anything else you just want to promote, or is this going to be like the finish of it? Or will you keep it up, mental health, and talk about it?
Yeah, hopefully just like keep talking about mental health and then keep going with the positive mental health.
And do you find now if there was a student, I've probably said this to you before, but students suffering from something, would they speak to yourself or go to one of the teachers?
I'd say they'd probably go straight to one of the teachers because they'd feel like they'd be embarrassed to talk to someone their own age.
And Alison, as you are kind of head of this project, how have you found since this has come about? Have you had any more students talk openly to you if they have a problem?
Well, in our school, the boys are very close with each other, so sometimes their initial point of contact is going to be with each other talking to their friends. Or obviously I've had students come to me, I've had students come to my other colleagues, to our guidance counsellors, and we're just trying to make sure that even outside of our own school, that young people know that the help is there, and if they are struggling, all they need to do is ask for the help. And now, based on this book is going to be on sale. It's cost of 5 €, okay, so it's only €5. We wanted to make sure that it was cheap enough for young people to be able to afford it, to buy it, to be able to use the resource. Now, to be honest, we'll be using it in our own SPHE classes and across different classes in our school, and we're hoping then that if other schools would like to take a look at the book or like to get a book for their own files, that they can just email us on mindmattersbook@gmail.com, or they can contact us at the school phone number 01 833 9779. And at that stage then, any of the money that we raise, so far we've sold about 130 books already, and all of the money raised is going to be donated to Jigsaw Dublin City, because that organisation, we have close links with it from the school. We often have speakers in from Jigsaw, and they work solely with young people, and it's important that if we look after our young people as they mature, as they grow into adults, they'll be much more resilient and have a better stronger mental health.
And I think every at least 4 or 5 booklets like this should be in every school.
Yes, that's
so they
that's
can get their
aim.
Hands on and have a look at, because I said there's so much information out there in the book of all the different organisations, that they just have a number in front. They don't have to talk, they can ring, or you can even text now.
If students aren't comfortable to talk to each other or to a teacher or to a family member, everything that they need is in that book. There's supports about what food to eat to improve your mental health. There's interviews to discuss the importance of exercise to improve your mental health, the importance of actually getting out, having your exercise. It's healthy for your mind, it's healthy for your body, and we just want to spread that message. So again, if anyone's interested in getting them, they can just contact us at the school and we can arrange it.
Great. And how long did it take to actually get the whole book together?
Well, we started in September, and I would say everything was published, sorted by about February.
Well done.
So it took time because we got guest speakers into the school. Like Lee and Joshua mentioned, Maria Coughlin, the Dublin Rose, she was fantastic. She came in, she wrote an article for our paper. Sinead Beasley from Fit Studios in Fairview, she allowed us to come down and interview her about the benefits of sport for mental health. We just have countless different interviews and articles from different psychologists, CBT therapists, that are just full of advice.
Brilliant. So even everything is in the book, doesn't it? There's just so much in it.
Everything is in it that you need. Everything to kind of tell you how to take your first step to ask for help, how you can get your help, and all of the positives. Everything is there and it's ready to go.
Okay, Alison, listen, thanks a million for coming in this morning. Can you give the phone number out just one more time if people are listening and they want to get the
hands on the phone number to contact is 01 833 9779. So that's our school phone number, and if you ring and just ask for Alison and you're talking about the Mind Matters book, and I'll get back to you straight away.
Great, and good luck in May.
Thank you very, very much.
And maybe come back and let us know how you get on.
We will, thank you.
And thanks a million to Lee and Joshua. Thanks for joining us here today. Thanks. A million. Thank you. And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by Ruth Connolly and Amy Moran from Merrifield College there down off the Glendale Road. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Good morning. So today you're going to talk a little bit about a campaign that you're working with Concern. Tell us a little bit about this.
So we went to this campaign meeting and we were asked to run a campaign in our school about conflict. So we decided to pick hidden conflicts, and so that's conflicts that aren't covered in the media or have no news coverage.
Okay. And what are you specifically going to be doing on this?
Yesterday we ran a fair trade bake sale to raise money for Concern, so we can gift water pumps to like places that don't have clean water, so we can help them out in that way. We're also holding a presentation for the first years, so we made a presentation about hidden conflict and types of hidden conflict, and we're going to show that to them as well. And we have posters around the school with facts on them.
Tell us a little bit about the hidden conflicts.
So we kind of focused on Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Rohingyas. So Congo, there's been a war going on that has no media coverage at all.
Yeah.
And it's all like there's conflicts like Syria and things like that all over the news. So we kind of wanted to raise awareness for it. But in Congo, there's no specific you can't pinpoint what caused this war.
Okay.
But people have been calling it Africa's World War, or the Hidden War. And it's really sad because Congo, like, it could be a really, really rich country, but people are taking advantage of the resources there. Like, there's diamonds and zinc and cobalt and coltan, which is found in iPhones. But because there's all fighting and there's different people taking advantage of them, it's not a rich country. There's no roads or rail tracks or anything.
So this is something that you're going to be working on for transition year, for to kind of get it out there and try and give that a bit of coverage, because you said it's not covered by the media at all. What about the part where you said you're going to try and get... Well, when you mentioned that when refugees and immigrants come over to Ireland, especially young people, and try, you know, when they come to like your school, any school, and find it hard to kind of, I suppose, cope sometimes with their mental health as well. Do they fit in, or, you know, are they still being kind of bullied?
It really, like, that kind of is the case in most places. And it's also stigmatised that refugees that come over to Ireland are quite poor, but they're not, like, they have phones just as we do. It's, like, the exact same. And I think there's just a lot of, like, stereotyping that's going on there that isn't really true, and that's kind of why they might be bullied or have negative things about them.
Mm. Now, I know a lot in employment people say when they come over, a strong perception of favouritism, especially in it's probably local clubs, you know, participants are saying that local children would be picked over migrants.
Yeah.
Would you feel this is the case? Like, if there was a thing going on in school, a show or some sports day, and they were picking people to participate, would you feel this is the case?
Definitely in our school, I don't think it would matter. I think of just if you have the talent, then you'll be chosen over someone who might not be as good as you.
Yeah.
Mm. And how long have you been working on this?
Well, we've been in the Global Issues Group in our school since first year, I think. So we kind of got into this through the debates that we do and with Concern and... So, like, I think we've been doing it for this campaign for a good couple of months, I think.
Yeah.
But we've only kind of really, really got into it in the last little while because we've been busy with debates and stuff.
And have you been taking part in debates on this issue?
Well, not exactly this issue, but, like, different things that affect us in our lives, like genetically modified foods and things like that.
Great. Which is very important,
yeah.
You know. And as you probably listened, or did you hear the students from St. Joseph's School speaking there about a book that they wrote on mental health and, you know, keeping your mental health healthy.
Yeah.
Do you, in Maryfield and TYU, do you focus on this as well? I know with immigrants, you're saying that's one of the things that they might suffer from is their mental health, kind of adjust into our society.
Yeah, like we do talk quite a lot about mental health in our school and stuff. It's important, you know. We went to the YSI presentation there the other day, and they were talking about a lot of people were talking about mental health and stuff. So it's good that people are getting out there and talking about it, because it's not as easy to fix as a physical illness.
Exactly.
Or easier, it's a lot harder to diagnose than a physical illness as well, you know.
And the thing was really to, it's just okay, not to feel okay and to ask for help when you feel you need it. So you're here today to talk about the campaign and I suppose a little bit about transition year and So where, when is the campaign? Like, is this just for the transition year, and after transition year, that's it? Like, you'll, are you just going to continue on with this?
I think.
I'm not really sure. I think it's, you can do it. Like, if you sign up for it each year, you can do it. And I think it's really important because we've learned so much just by, from doing this campaign and working with Concern, and it's actually been like so eye-opening, and definitely learned things I never would have learned if I had just not took part in it at all.
As what have you learned? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Rohingyas, I did not know this at all, and basically they're one of the ethnic minorities in of, and they're the largest percentage of Muslims actually in Myanmar. And they have their own language and culture, but the government in Myanmar is Buddhist and they refuse to see them as people. And they even excluded them from the census in 2014. And they only see them as illegal immigrants from Bangladesh. And now the Rohingyas are fleeing because troops are burning their villages, attacking them, abusing them. And, like, it's, I don't think that should happen. And we, like, I didn't know this, and it's not portrayed in the media enough. That, because we're only really aware of Syrian refugees and like people coming over from Syria, but we aren't told about what's going on over in Bangladesh or Myanmar or anything. So I think that's really important that we show people what's actually happening in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And Ruth and Amy, it's great to have the opportunity in TYU to kind of, I suppose, take part in you know, a lot of different organisations you've been kind of doing, I suppose, work experience with as well. And, you know, you're learning throughout the year of probably a lot of things that you, as you said, you didn't know what was going on in the world. And Concern do great work.
Yeah.
They really do, you know. So it's great that you are doing this with Concern. Have you worked with any other organisations throughout TYU?
Well, we did a fair trade bake sale the other day, so that's kind of an organisation that we work with. And Concern is kind of the main one that we would work with, but like, we're up for working with anybody, you know.
Do you find TYU that it has been an advantage to you, both of you?
Definitely.
Has it given you more insight into what you'd like to do when you leave school?
Yeah, because I didn't know what I was going to do when I left school, and still don't, but now I have a few more options on the table.
Yeah. It's kind of, it gives you that time to kind of think of what you might like to do. And is there anything else you'd like to get out there to listeners, and probably to say how TYU kind of inspired you? As you said, you didn't really know what to do, and now you have more kind of options on what you might do when you finish. Yeah. Would you recommend it to other
students? I would definitely recommend it, yeah, because I might like to work with Concern in the future, and if I skipped straight to fifth year, I don't think I would have had the opportunity to work with Concern and see what they're actually all about. So I think definitely do fourth year.
Yeah.
Great. And Amy?
Well, like, I just think fourth year, you make so many new friends, and I feel like I'm a completely different person to how I started in fourth year. So, but it's a good thing, you know, like, you definitely, you know who your real friends are, and you just get a good sense of pride in your school as well because of all the work that you do.
And it gives you that, I think, that bit of maturity as well, because you're going out to the real world and you're experiencing kind of what's out there, to get a little bit of work experience, what you think you might, you know, like to do. And you've also been to Iceland, so you have really had a good year, haven't you? How did that go?
That was great. Yeah, I loved it. I wish I could go back again. I loved it.
And did you get to see the Northern Lights?
No.
Kind of, but
that's a pity. She isn't going that way to Iceland. Yeah. Not really seen them. But you got to see a lot more things.
So much. We got to see a volcano. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
So a great experience for transition year.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, thanks a million for talking to us, and let us know how the campaign goes. Yeah. And as anyone is listening who is in fourth year and thinking about doing TY year, maybe it is a good thing, gives you that year to mature and decide what you might want to do. Okay, thanks a million, Ruth.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.